with you. Merry Christmas. Today is indeed a joyous festive day. We celebrate the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Nothing would ever be the same after that first Christmas. Today we thank God for the gift of his Son, Jesus, the eternal Word, the Logos, second person of the Trinity, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, now taking up residence in flesh and blood among us. Why? For us and for our salvation. We pray that God would richly bless us as we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 387, Joy to the World. We'll have a procession, and I ask that you stand as the cross enters into the sanctuary. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. We have a Christmas Day insert. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We broke our Advent fast by singing the Gloria last night on Christmas Eve. We'll continue to do that through the Christmas and Epiphany season as well. One other note, it is a long-standing church tradition that on Christmas Day, the church confesses the Athanasian Creed. We do that on Trinity Sunday as well because it has such a wonderful and expanded confession of the mystery of the Trinity. But it also has an expanded confession of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus. When it gets time for the confession of the creed, I'll direct you to the pages where the Athanasian Creed is located, and we'll confess the creed responsively, whole verse by whole verse. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Christmas means so many different things to so many different people. Sadly, for too many, Christmas has become only a family holiday and a family tradition. And the real meaning of this day is far, far in the background. Heavenly Father, today, remind us, teach us, and encourage us with regard to your greatest gift, the gift of your Son. God in the flesh for us and for our salvation. Help us to appreciate the mystery of the incarnation and how you continue to give and give and give grace upon grace. Heavenly Father, bless us this day. Bless us throughout the year. Bless us in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. In his name we gather and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 387.
Thank you.
Divine Service, setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit.
Glory to us. Lord,
Glory be to God on high.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set us free from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading for the Nativity of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 40. In the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames, and put in its poles, and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony, and put it into the ark, and put the poles on the ark, and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the screen, and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We give our attention to the Good Shepherd Choir.
To us a son. child is born.
Titus chapter 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel processional as we turn to page 391. Rejoice, rejoice this happy morn.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O
We confess our faith using the words of the Athanasian Creed, page 319 and following. Page 319 and following. We'll confess the creed responsively, whole verse by whole verse. Athanasian Creed, page 319. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep hold of the Father, will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, the other in persons, or divine in substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
The Godhead of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three Almighties, but one Almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is by faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the path of faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
We continue now with our hymn of the day, 384, of the Father's Love Begotten, 384.
Thank you.
the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. Thus far our text. Dear friends in Christ, have you ever considered the implications of the words of our gospel lesson for today? I mean, really, have you thought in depth about what it means? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became man. The infinite God took on finite flesh. The God who created everything in the entire universe became a part of that universe. God entered our world in the flesh of a man. We call that the incarnation. It means that God was in, with, and under the flesh of a human being. We confess this every week in the Creed with these words: He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He was made man. And it's amazing, isn't it? To think that the Almighty, all-powerful God places himself into the caring hands of a teenage human mother and her husband. The God who can create with the power of his holy word, "Let there be," lays aside that glory and becomes weak, unable even to hold up his own head, needing to be supported by that mother. The God who can do whatever he wishes at any time becomes like us, frail, fragile, tiny. God, in his incarnate frailty, needs Mary to change his diaper, to feed him. God incarnate needs swaddling cloths to keep him warm in the cool evening. God incarnate needs a crib to lie in, a manger. Because the all-powerful God makes himself so weak that he'll even have to learn how to walk in the months and years ahead. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us in meekness mild, a frail human being in the merciful care of his mother, a God who sets aside his godness so that he would need the care of humanity. All powerful and yet made weak, in danger of kings and governors who seek his life, having to run away to Egypt even to avoid the slaughter of the innocents. Almighty God needing to nurse at his mother's breast. Why? Why does God do this? What's he hoping to accomplish? Dear Christians, the reason for his frailty is clear. The reason he lays himself into the mercy of humankind is so simple. He does it so that he might die at the hands of humankind. And that by that dying, he might pay the penalty for all of mankind's sin. Your sin, my sin, everyone's sin paid for by the death of God. And so the second person of the Holy Trinity, the uncreated, eternal God, allowed his incarnate human flesh to be whipped, beaten, tortured, mocked, nailed to a cross, pierced with a spear, killed and dead and laid in the grave. All of that to pay for your sin. That sin that he died for is your sin. It was to save each one of you that this cross happened. By your fault, your own fault, your own most grievous fault, you have sinned. Yes, time and again, you have sinned. So have I. So have all mankind. You've done wrong against God and His Word. You've done wrong against the people around you, your neighbors, your friends, and your family. You've sinned in thought, word, and deed. How? Well, to start with, you've made Christmas, the birth of our God in human flesh, about lights, decorations, presents, wrapping paper, elves on shelves, ugly sweaters, chipmunks singing, and family. You've made Christmas about these things rather than about the Word of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And when you do that, you think of the mistletoe, the holly, the snow, you obscure Jesus. You obscure the glory of God. St. John writes, "He was in the world, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. They were too busy frosting cookies and putting pine trees in their living room." When we lose sight of Jesus, when it gets lost, all those other things. When Christ gets lost, even in the other months and days of the year, when our lives are not focused on our Savior, that's sin. It's sin if we will not receive Jesus. First and foremost, sin deserves death every time, every sin. And that's why God became man. That's why God became weak. That's why God was killed, to forgive all that sin and to give you life instead. Or to return to the creed, we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, was made man. Why? So that he might die for all mankind, so that he might be crucified under Pontius Pilate, buried, and rise again for all mankind, for all forgiveness, for all grace and mercy and peace. That's why your God is born this day. He's willing to rescue you so that you might always be his own holy possession and live under him in his kingdom. God has come. And he hasn't just come to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, 8,000 miles away. He's come to you here, now. He's come to pour out that forgiveness here and now. Welcome him. Hail him as Lord and Savior. Rejoice at his birth. He's given you his word, sending it forth into your ear. And wherever that word is, his Holy Spirit creates and sustains faith. He has promised it. He has washed you in the waters of holy baptism, promising that when God looks at you, a baptized Christian, he will not see your sin and failures and shortcomings, but instead he will see Jesus, whom you are now robed in. He comes in his own body and blood, here in the holy altar, so that you might eat and drink and become what you eat and drink, someone who will live forever by the grace of the one true God. Will you not know him here? Will you not welcome him here? Will you not receive him here? This is where he is now, this Christmas, in his word and sacrament. God is present here for you, for your sin, for your life, for your peace, for your joy. That sets you free for all the other things, knowing that he's come for you. You can put the pine tree in your living room, hang the lights on your house, knowing first and foremost that he's here for you. He'll still be here when you take the tree down and vacuum up the pine needles. He'll still be here in July when you take the lights off your house. He'll still be here every day, every week. And that's why the angels sing at the birth of God's Son. Joy to the world, the Lord has come to suffer and die for sinners like us. Hark, the herald angels sing. God is pleased as man with man to dwell. Christ is born in the little town of Bethlehem, laid away in a manger. And that manger is now our paradise where we can recline and dwell and have our being. Oh, come, let us adore him who will die for our forgiveness, in whom we have life and life to the full. Glory to God in the highest and on earth now, because God is here, peace, goodwill towards men. God has come. He is here. The Word has become flesh. He dwells now among us to suffer for us, to die for us, to pour out his gifts for us, to support us and care for us and provide for his. Jesus has come. We have seen his glory. And from him, we have received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. His light shines forth in the darkness of our world, now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we continue our worship service. We do so by, We do so by standing for the offertory.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, God in the flesh, grace upon grace for you. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing information so that we can acknowledge your presence in worship this morn. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God in the flesh for you and for your salvation would be yours today and forever. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
See you.
Please stand for prayer. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand.
Lord, now let us all our sins depart in peace according to thy word. O God, I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared me for, the face of all before.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. Oh, God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 390, Let Us All with Gladsome Voice.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, God incarnate for you, for the life of the world. It's been a great couple of days. The choir, the special music, the solos, everything has been wonderful. Thanks be to God for this joyous celebration of Christmas. This is one of the few times during the church year when we do not have church on Wednesday night. We'll let this morning cover that. Is that all right? Sunday, regular church services, 8 and 10:30, with Sunday school for all ages in between. Next week, our schedule is a little bit different as well. New Year's Eve, we have a tradition here to close out the calendar year with the divine service. So next Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll have a New Year's Eve divine service, and we will have no worship next Wednesday as well. What are we doing for, we having Lifelight this week? Tomorrow?
No.
No Lifelight tomorrow? Okay. All right. Very good. Any other announcements?
In the Sunday school room in the back there, there's a room full of extra gifts and things that have been donated for anybody who's in need. Would like to take a look. Feel free to stop by there. If you have questions, let me know.
Okay. I think that's all. Have a blessed and merry Christmas in Jesus.